it is. Welcome back, Power Players. You're listening to Power Talk, Season 1, Episode 84. I got my man, the clever investor in the building. He's better known as Cody Sperber. And for those of you guys that don't know who he is, Cody Sperber is widely acclaimed as one of the most successful real estate investors and leading educators in the U.S. today. He started with no money to his name, sitting at his laptop in his then girlfriend's now wife's kitchen, trying to flip property to small email lists that he managed to finagle together. After a few years of trial and error, including more than a few painful mistakes and shaping lessons in the school of hard knocks, he eventually cracked the code and has since then been massively profitable, as well as had massive growth. So I'm super, super excited to you guys to listen to this episode, to dive in and to learn how to thrive during this pandemic. We recorded this in the beginning of the quarantine. So if you follow me and you're a part of my Facebook community, as well as my mastermind community, you were able to talk to him live, ask some questions, and actually get this insight a couple weeks ago. So I'm super, super pumped for you guys to check this out. But you know, I got some requirements, and that's this. One, make sure you turn off all your notifications, make sure you turn off your distractions, and make sure you completely hone into this conversation. Requirement number two, make sure that you have a pen and paper handy, a pencil and a piece of white paper, your notes on your phone, your iPhone, your Apple, your iPad, whatever it may be. I don't care. I just need you to make sure that you write these notes down. Requirement number three is, after you're done listening to this conversation, after you're done writing your notes down, don't just close that book and turn away. What I want you to do is take a piece of your notes and actually implement it into your life. Why? Because this show is about getting in power of who you are, in power of your brand, in power of your business, in power of your relationships, and in power of just getting your situation together. I don't want you to just go ahead and take action. I want you to take action, and I want you to go ahead and get results, meaning that you executed it. I believe in you. I'm proud of you. And thank you for listening. So I got one last question for you, and that's this. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. How you doing? How you living? How you being? It's your girl Nani, and I am coming to you live, literally live today with Cody Sperber. For those of you guys that don't know who he is a real estate mogul. At this moment, what he does is educate, as well as he's one of the leading real estate power players in this industry right now. So I wanted to go ahead and bring him to you live during this quarantine time. How you living, Cody?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on. You know, let's talk real estate. Let's talk business. Let's talk entrepreneurship.
Definitely. I'm really excited to dive into your story. I've actually been following you for some time now, and I kind of want everyone to get a back end of who you are. I know you're from Mesa, Arizona. You have a bounce back spirit, and you haven't always been in the realm of winning, but you've really made it to this spot where you're at now. So can you tell us a little bit about your childhood?
Yeah, I'll give you the quick short version. Just, you know, sometimes when people go down their rabbit hole, it can be a lot, right?
And so, yeah.
Yeah, I grew up in Mesa, Arizona. My parents, you know, were hardworking, lower middle class. You know, we were a lower middle class family. I had a great upbringing. My parents were amazing parents, and they worked really hard to give me a decent life. You know, we didn't have a lot of things, but I didn't know that as a little kid. And the only challenge I had is I moved around a lot. My dad got fired like every 3 years. So there was a lot of moving, and which as an adult, actually all that uncertainty, all those moments in time where I was at a new school trying to make new friends, it actually served me really well in business later on in life. But about every 2 years we moved. So I jumped from state to state, school to school. By the time I was probably 13, I moved like 12 or so times. And then when I was going through high school, I really didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I was really struggling. My parents, nobody from my family had ever gone to college. So my parents were really pushing me to go to college. And I went to community college for half a day after high school, and I quit. It didn't last too long. I was a really little guy. And I think I was just really nervous because I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. I felt sharp-witted, and I was always a handful, like very hyperactive kid, but yeah. I was very immature emotionally. And so I just felt really out of place going to college. and I was little, so my backpack was like the size of me. So, you know, I bolted out of there as fast as I could get out of there. My dad pretty much gave me an ultimatum. He's like, you either need to go, you know, get a job somewhere, or, you know, go back to college or do something, because I'm not going to give you any money anymore. And so I decided to follow in his footsteps. I went in the Navy. And up until that point, me and all my friends, we were like, you know, kind of shitheads. Like, we were smoking weed all the time, and I was not a hardworking student. I didn't have a lot of ambition, little petty things. And the Navy changed my life. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You know, it took me out of that environment. A lot of my friends went to juvenile hall or ended up going to prison for selling drugs or dumb stuff. And I got very lucky. I got out of that environment, and I went, and the military really manned me up. I grew about a foot and a half when I was in the military. So I was kind of a late bloomer and got to travel the world. And they taught me the importance of systems and structure and physical fitness and all that stuff. So it was a game changer for me. And while I was in the military, my dad got me a book, and the book was Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
And it was the first time I ever heard about assets and liabilities. And I remember that I couldn't put the book down. I read the whole book very, very quickly. And it just planted some seeds in my mind about this idea of like investing your way to wealth. But I didn't do anything with it. I was in the military. I was having fun, traveling the world, working. Fast forward 2 years later, I get out of the military. The MGI bill at the time was paying really, really well. And there was all these grants and stuff. So I decided I'm going to try college again. I enrolled in Arizona State after talking. I went and talked to a history professor because I wanted to be a history professor. I thought that's what I wanted to do with my life. And I went over to San Diego State where I was stationed. I went over to San Diego State and I talked to one of the history professors. I said, how much do you make per year? And the guy just started laughing. And he was like, I don't make enough. I actually have a second job just to pay the bills. And I was like, oh, that's not the answer I was looking for. You know, I was just following like my passion at the time. And so I decided to regroup. I came back home to Arizona where my family was. I enrolled in ASU. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I was going to, my dad kind of urged me to go to school and get a degree in finance. And I'm horrible at math. I'm not a good student. But I was working really hard at the time just to get good grades and really do college the right way. And at that, I got really lucky again. My friend asked me to go to lunch one day, and the dude rolls up in a brand new Mercedes. And I'm like, yo, how'd you get the car? And he's like, oh, I flipped a house and I made $80,000. So I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even know you could do that. But I'm kind of flashing back to the Rich Dad, Poor Dad book. And I'm all, oh yeah, real estate. That's right. That's where people make a lot of money. But I was really skeptical because it didn't make sense how my friend who had no money a few months earlier all of a sudden made $80,000 flipping a house. I'm like, where'd you find the house? How'd you get the money to buy the house? I thought you needed a real estate license. Like, I had all these preconceived notions of how real estate was. And I thought real estate was for like old rich people, you know, like you buy houses once you make a bunch of money. And that's not what he did. He did a process called wholesaling. And we could talk about what that is here later. But he penciled it out on a napkin. And I remember I took that napkin and I just kept staring at it over the next couple weeks. I just stared at this napkin trying to figure out, like, what is he talking about? Like, how does this work? I want to kind of do this. And I liked the concept because it's no money down real estate. And so when people say, like, oh, you can flip a house with no money down, like, that's actually a real thing. There's people doing it all over the country. And so my friend did it, and you got to go back 15 years ago. There was no YouTube University. There was no podcast. Like, there was no social media. There was very little information online. So the only way to really learn was to, like, either watch an infomercial from some, like, guru and then buy their stuff, or we actually looked on the back of, like, the newspaper and, like, the newspaper ads. And it would say, so-and-so is coming to town and putting on a seminar. And so I'd fly all over the country going to these seminars and workshops. It was crazy. It flew all over the world trying to figure this thing out. For 9 months, I tried to do what my friend did, and I couldn't do it. So You know, my beginnings in real estate, it wasn't by purpose. I didn't grow up wanting to be a real estate investor. I didn't have any real ambition. But when I started going down this rabbit hole, I started really getting excited about this concept of becoming a millionaire through real estate investing.
And I love that, because I know that a seed was planted in you when you were younger. You saw this man named Michael Pollack. He had investments everywhere, big buildings everywhere. And you told yourself, you know what? I want that to happen to me one day. Now, you go into these seminars, you start immersing yourself in all of these knowledges, these trainings. And when this happens, you start diving into wanting to start up your own business. You have everyone telling you, you know, I don't know if this is going to work for you. You're maxing out your credit cards, and then you get discouraged. Now, I was listening to one of your podcast interviews about this moment. You stated that as an entrepreneur, this is when you understood that you have to have a bounce back spirit to be an entrepreneur. You had a good friend, Jeremy, show you the wholesaling, but you also had a really good friend tell you, come with me to this event in San Diego. I know you're feeling discouraged. Take it as just a trip. I want you to really just see, like, spend time with me. Just get out of your funk. Now, you go into the seminar, and not only do you start realizing that aha moment of, wow, like, I learned from this guy. I have this guy's training. I could do this. You go ahead and you meet a gentleman during the lunch break. Can you tell us a little bit about that little, you know, pivot to get you browned up?
I love that you did your research. Yeah.
Man, I've been following you for a while. So like I said, I'm super excited to just dive into some of the motions.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I was jumping through a lot of things, but, you know, as you go through this concept of starting to become an entrepreneur and like getting this idea, like you're going to go start a business, especially in the real estate space, you go through this wave of emotions. And so for me, I was trying to do everything on my own. I would go to a seminar, I'd buy a course, then I would lay the course out on the table and I tried to go through it and try to implement it. And I had a lot of young bravado and ego, and I thought, oh, I'll figure this out. And like I said, 9 months of trial and error, and I just could not pull it together. It just felt like there was giant pieces of missing information. It was either old and outdated, or it just was missing something. I couldn't put my finger on what it was, but I just could not break through. And I was, you know, you go from being enthusiastic to being like almost in denial that it's going to, you know, like everybody's crazy, I'm going to make this happen. Then the voices get louder, the self-limiting beliefs get louder. And then all of a sudden, 9 months in, I finally did quit. And like you said, I went and got a job as a bookkeeper. I was going to go a different direction. And my good friend asked me to go to this one more seminar. And I'm like, all right. After him convincing me, I finally was like, look, fine, I'll go. And that's when I met my first true mentor at that seminar. And that was a major breakthrough for me. And I think that's what you're driving towards. Because, you know, up until that point, I was trying on my own. I was winging it. And winging it's just not a good strategy. There's people that obviously have been very successful in real estate. And if you get proximity to them and you can watch how they maneuver, watch how they think, you know, how do they build relationships? How do they market their business? Where do they get the money? How do they put all the deals together? How do they negotiate? And just, at that event, I've met this guy, Lyle, at lunch, and he happened to have a winter home in Arizona. And I just convinced him to, you know, kind of take me under his wing. And by convincing him, I wrote him a check, you know, and I was like, hey, we're going to do this. And I need somebody that will make me a priority. And it was the best investment I ever made, because Lyle taught me things I couldn't find in books. He was somebody that paid a lot of attention to me and gave me that love and that energy and that reassurance that I was on the right track. He stopped me from doing stupid stuff and kind of gave me the shortcut, like, hey, this works, that doesn't. So there was a lot of that going on. And that first year of having him by my side really made a big difference. And I ended up becoming getting some traction, and I became a millionaire by 28, a multimillionaire by 30. You know, it was like everything changed once I started actually getting some traction in this business. And I started with no money down real estate. So all of it, every deal I did was little to no money out of my own pocket. So think about that.
And we're going to talk about your first deal, because I loved it. It was a foreclosure, bankruptcy. What was the other thing that it was?
Divorce.
going through a divorce, and Lyle walked you through the entire thing. Now, one thing that I really admire about this story in general is not only did he go ahead and get a mentor, not only did he get around proximity, he connected the power with, because that's really where the success lies. Now, you talk about knowledge and having focus, intense activity for a consistent period of time, that will equal the formula of success. Now, for so long, you were just winging it, right? He became a bookkeeper. Mind you guys, he became a bookkeeper and studied how to be a bookkeeper the day before he went into his bookkeeping job.
Yeah, I lied on my resume.
Yeah, and you were killing it with it. But then your friend saw, hey, this winging it thing, it's not working for you. And the reason why I want to touch on this point is I think that so many entrepreneurs think you have to wing it. And it's not about winging it consistently. It's about winging it in the sense of taking a risk that you know it's a good gamble and then staying consistent with it, putting that focus into it. Now, you go on to talking about intensity plus necessity equals survival, and you start doing your side hustle with the wholesale deal. How did that first deal pan out? And can you kind of walk us through it? Because like I said, it was a 3-in-1 foreclosure, bankruptcy, divorce, and you made the most profit you did on a wholesale deal, and you felt on top of the world after that. It gave you a confident boost.
Yeah. So, you know, up until this point, I'm a bookkeeper. I'm trying to doing the real estate thing as a side hustle, trying to, you know, now that I have Lyle, trying to get this thing off the ground. And you gotta understand, like, if I can do this, anybody listening can do this, because I look like I was 14 years old. I had no money. I drove a piece of crap Nissan pickup truck. But I was pretty determined to figure this thing out. And so I met this guy through my marketing, called me up and said, hey, I'm going through a divorce. I'm also in foreclosure and I'm dealing with a bankruptcy right now. Me and my wife hate each other. Can you help me out? So he didn't know I was going to show up. Right. So when he first saw me, he was kind of in shock. Right. And so I show up and I'm acting like I'm going to pay cash for his house. And I talked to him for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then I leave his house and I go over to the neighbors. I said, hey, I'm going to go talk to some of the neighbors. I want to get to know the neighborhood a little bit. I went and talked to one of the neighbors, and the first neighbor I talked to was like, and I'm making up the guy's name, but he's like, oh, you're trying to buy John's house? Man, John's a cranky old guy. Like, there's no way you're getting his house. And I was like, why do you say that? And they're like, John's just an asshole. He doesn't want to do deals with anybody. Everybody's been coming here over and over, and he's really rough to deal with. So I went back over to John's house after talking to the neighbor, and I'm like, kind of like, oh crap, how am I going to pull this deal together? And I did the one thing that you need to do if you want to be successful. I wasn't a slick salesperson. I didn't know all the answers. I was brand new. But I did have a tremendous amount of enthusiasm. And I was very empathetic, and I asked lots of open-ended questions, what and how questions. And I just opened John up over about a 2-hour period of what's it like to go through a divorce? What are you experiencing right now? You know, how did you get into this situation where you're in bankruptcy? You know, what do you want this situation to look like? If everything kind of worked out perfectly, what would the perfect outcome be? And all of a sudden, like 3 or 4 hours went by, he ended up he went from like really tough to making me dinner. We totally vibed out. He was like, thank God you came to my house. He's like, you know what? I want to give you the deal. And that deal, even though it was very difficult because I had to keep going back to Lyle, like, what do I do next? I pulled all the attorneys together, put all the paperwork together, pushed the deal to the finish line. I ended up making $40,000 on that deal, which was more than what I made as an entire year as a bookkeeper. And that was a game changer for me, because imagine working for 9 months, not making any money, quitting, a few months later, getting back into it, finding a mentor, finally, you know, putting yourself back out there, scared to death, not having any clue what you're doing. A huge deal falls in your lap. You pull it together and you're sitting at the closing table and you have this check and you're like, oh my God, this is going to change my life. Like, I knew it. I knew that it was never going to be the same again. And that money empowered me to do a lot of things. I was able to help my dad, which he was in a financial tough spot. And I remember best feeling in the world to be able to cut a check to my parents to help them solve a problem. I was able to quit my job as a bookkeeper, which was like not quite a Jerry Maguire moment, but I was like, you know, internally, yeah. I was like, this is amazing. And then I was able to buy an engagement ring for my girlfriend and you know, do a proposal, which was amazing. So, and I knew that I could do it again and again. Like, it became real. All that hope finally transitioned into belief.
I love that, because it's will plus why equals intensity. And you talk about it in an interview where you say, you know, that will and that why, no matter what it is, you're going to make it happen. When a drug addict wants its drugs, it's going to make it happen. When someone that's in a bad place wants some money, they're going to make it happen. And just like you, you wanted to be in a better place. You wanted to just get your head out of a funk. You do the bookkeeping. Then you realize, man, this isn't for me. I want to start doing wholesale. I need a side hustle. Now that we have a little background of who you are, what you do, I kind of want to dive into just getting your knowledge and your insight on a lot of these strategies that you speak about. One thing that you speak about and what's going on right now is the quarantine, the pandemic. You speak about three top investing strategies recently on your YouTube. It's wholesaling, it's rehabs, and buy and hold. Currently right now, for anyone that's an entrepreneur, business owner, or even a person that's looking for a side hustle, what would you say would be the top investing strategy at this moment that would make sense for someone to dive into right now?
Yeah, and obviously we're dealing with unprecedented times. You know, I've been in this business for over 15 years now, wrote it up, wrote it down, wrote it back up. And now there's this, you know, anomaly hitting us, which isn't a real estate problem. It's a worldwide financial meltdown because of this pandemic. And so I think it's a little too early to really understand what we're dealing with. However, with that being said, right now we're seeing a couple different investing strategies really take hold and work really well. If you understand real estate, it's all supply and demand. So a month ago or 2 months ago, we were riding the greatest real estate market uptick the world has ever seen. Prices were at an all-time high. Demand was at an all-time high. Interest rates were an all-time low. We have... sellers were in control. They were dictating price, and it was just a great market, right? Lots of good things going on in the real estate space, wholesaling, rehabbing, landlording, everything was great. Then all of a sudden this pandemic hits and it completely inverses the model and just throws everything off. So what we're starting to see right now, and just so you guys know, if you're listening to this, you need two things to be a successful, creative real estate investor, whether you're wholesaling or anything. If you're trying to buy discounted real estate, you need two things. You need motivation, and there's a lot of reasons people become motivated, but you need them to be motivated. Somebody who's not motivated is not going to sell their house. They're just not going to sell at a discount. And it's either they're motivated or the house is causing them to have motivation. So it's either they're in financial pain because of loss of a job, which we're seeing right now, divorce, death in the family, legal bills, medical bills. Like, there's a million reasons somebody can become financially motivated, or the house is old and outdated and ugly or whatever. And so we're always looking for those motivations. And they also need to have equity. And equity is just the profit that's trapped into the house. So if the house is worth $200,000, but they owe $100,000 to, say, Bank of America or some bank, that means that there's $100,000 of trapped equity. And a lot of times, and you guys know this to be true, most people are bad savers. So they don't have a lot of savings. And this something like a flat tire or medical emergency or a worldwide pandemic, they miss one or two paychecks and it throws their whole life into chaos. So we're seeing motivation levels go through the roof right now. 3 million people filed for unemployment in March. Right? I mean, this is insanity what's happening. The highest level since 1982, I think, is what the news said this morning. So it's like we're seeing unprecedented levels of motivation. Because the real estate market was so good, a lot of these people have equity. All their money is trapped in their property and they need to unlock it. And so what I'm seeing right now is we're in this weird lull for like the next month or two while we're all in quarantine. Now is the time to like really buckle down and increase your skills and capabilities. It's not necessarily time right now to rush off and go and invest in real estate. It's time to rush off and invest in this real estate, 6 inches between your ears. Get this down so you have the skills and the techniques and the strategies and the capabilities. So that way, once things start to open up, and we're already seeing it, it shifted from a seller's market now to a buyer's market. Inventory is coming on the market at warp speed. Everybody's panicking and they're panic selling. We're seeing it in the stock market. We're seeing it in the real estate space. Give it 3 or 4 months. Everybody that was on the fence about selling is going to put their property on the market.
Man.
On top of that, there's one more thing. On top of that, we're seeing, because of this, everybody's quarantined, the major players in the real estate space, the hedge funds, the big money, they all went to the sidelines because it's not their money. So they have to be very careful how they spend it. So Opendoor, OfferPad, all the iBuyers that are in 20 plus major markets around the country, they're all sidelined right now. So what's working, besides getting your mind right, what I would be learning about is wholesaling, no money down real estate investing. And what's cool about wholesaling, you could do it virtually. You don't have to be physically at the property. The seller doesn't have to be at the property. You don't have to be at the property. We have technology now, right, with our phones that we can send contracts and get them digitally signed. We can do things through social media and do marketing for free. We can, you know, use Craigslist. Guess what? Everybody's at home. So the contact rates are through the roof. We're able to call, you know, just take a list, any list. Take all the VRBO or all the Airbnb. Just go to Airbnb in your city and call every one of those owners. Guess what? They're not renting their properties right now. So if they're not renting their properties, a lot of them have mortgages on their properties. And they're overextended. They don't have a lot of cash just sitting around to pay those mortgage payments. So come April 1st, mortgage payments are due. You know, April, May 1st, mortgage payments due. They're going to start becoming very motivated to get out of this situation, especially if we're all in quarantine till August or some crazy amount. We don't know what we're dealing with. So those for sale by owners, they're now looking for cash offers. They're looking to get out of properties quickly. We show up. We say, look, we want to work out a deal. And as long as you know how to negotiate, as long as you know how to get properties under contract at a good price, that's the whole front half of wholesaling, is just locking up deals using creative paperwork. No money's changing hands. It's just putting properties under contract so you control the real estate. And that's it. Right now, we're banging the phones. We're sending out text messages. We're doing ringless voicemail. And we're getting a tremendous amount of response.
That's amazing. So anybody that's listening to this right now on live, go with that strategy and not only listen to it, but implement it in yourselves. I love that you just stated right now to invest in the skill, hone in on the knowledge, that way you could dominate. You hear so many people getting in the panic, like you said, and I think a lot of mentors too are misleading in the sense of, hey, buy this course from me. Hey, invest in this right here with me. Hey, do this. And people are starting to think that they have to buy everything. Start buying in on things or courses or books that are going to be something to your benefit once this whole pandemic is over. Now, you speak about the foundation for financial intelligence, which I think is super important right now as well. I like how you've went from poor to financially stable to generational wealth. And I think so many people don't think about the generational wealth aspect of it. They just think about, hey, I just want to have the money. But there's pillars to it, correct? So can you explain your mindset when it comes to the financial intelligence and how someone can leverage building up a foundation so they could be winning by the end of this year rather than having this mindset of, man, panic, man, I'm losing, man, I have to save?
Yeah, and I think it really just comes down to, like, right now everybody's freaking out. I'm not freaking out, right? Why am I not freaking out? I'm looking at this like this is the greatest shift of wealth and opportunity I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want people to get hurt, but I'm not freaking out because I'm not financially unstable. I have built methodically and systematically a financial wall around me and my family. So that way I'm not freaking out over prices going up or down or gas prices going up or who the president is. Like, I don't care about a lot of that stuff because I took care of the fundamentals, and they don't teach this stuff. And this is kind of what Rich Dad Poor Dad was getting at, was assets, liabilities, right? So step one is just learning the language of the wealthy. And if you're not around wealthy people, you and your friends probably aren't sitting around going, dude, I want to start a business. I want to get assets. I want to decrease my liabilities. I don't want any consumer debt. You know, a lot of times people are just like, hey, how do I look cool on Instagram? Oh, I got to go get the freshest clothes. Well, let's put that on a credit card. Boom. You know, and it's like, that's just the wrong mindset. So part one of financial literacy is learning the language. And then part two is setting yourself up for success and really creating like a little game plan and saying, all right, I can't win the money game if I don't have a positive relationship with money. So I got to change my language patterns when it comes to money. Are rich people greedy, or do rich people, live in abundance? Are they generous? Are they, whatever, is it money doesn't grow on trees, or is it I'm attracted to money and I love money and money is a tool to help people with? Like, it's just a language.
Yeah.
And on top of that, getting out of consumer debt, first and foremost, before, there's only three ways to get wealthy, right? You can entrepreneur your way to wealth, you can invest your way to wealth, or you can get lucky and inherit your way to wealth or something like that, or win the lottery. And people try to save their way to wealth, and that just does not work, right? Yeah. You're trading time for money, and there's not enough hours in the day. You cannot get the energy high enough to really get the amount of money that you need. So I just look at it and go, all right, step one, unbury yourself by paying off high interest consumer debt. Step two, live below your means and save every available dollar so you can start investing. Step three is set your bank accounts up the right way. A lot of people, like consumers, like, are you a consumer or are you a creator? Because for me, most people have the mindset of a consumer, right? So like my cell phone, my business, this, I write this off as an expense. My business pays for this and I write it off as an expense. My car, my business pays for, I write it off as an expense. Most people have a job, right? And then they go and get a cell phone as a consumer. I say start a business so that way, have a job, right? There's nothing wrong with having a job.
Yeah.
But start a business on the side, create your side hustle. And there's a lot of things we could do. Real estate investing is just one of them, but you could be stock investing. You could be starting a little online business. People are making fortunes doing social media for other companies or Shopify or Amazon. There's all kinds of things you can do from home as a side hustle, but you can start a business so that way now you can start shifting over a lot of those expenses you have as a person and put them over under the business and write them off. And by setting up your bank accounts the right way and setting up your corporate structures the right way, you finally have a foundation to play the money game.
Yeah.
And that's where I think you're going. Cause like, if you don't have that foundation, you're not going to win. You cannot win. It's rigged against you. Wealthy people like me don't want you to get wealthy. We want you to show up to work and work hard and do your damn job. We don't want you to think big. We don't want you to break free of the rat race. We don't want you to do that. We want you to help build our wealth by sitting in the chair and doing what I need you to do. Right? So yeah. You have to break free of that. You have to like instantly wake up and go, screw that. I don't mind doing that for a period of time. I don't mind being a great team member for a period of time. But if you want to get to the next level of life, you got to start thinking like a boss and having those boss thoughts.
I love that, because you speak about so many points that most consumers don't think about. Like, for example, right there, setting up your bank account. I speak to so many people that they have a business and they have all their funds going into a personal account. And something that you said too was saving. I saw a status today where people are talking about, well, I'm putting this aside, I'm saving this, I'm doing that. And two points that you made is you can't save your way to wealth. Because one, taxes, and two, money devalues over time, right? Now, with that being said, what are some strategies right now that an entrepreneur or someone that's looking to get a side hustle, they can start implementing besides learning a new skill or doing a course? What are some ways that they can start increasing their mindset so they can start changing that from a 9-to-5er to an actual, risk taker that's doing it the correct way?
Let me make sure I understand your question. Like, for me, the number one skill that you need to have is marketing.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. Like, you need to have the loudest megaphone you possibly can. And for me, the reason I got ahead, like I said in the beginning, it's not because I'm talented or I'm a great salesperson. It's I'm freaking relentless with figuring out the marketing. And I, now I've gone off, made tens of millions of dollars, started all these companies, all this stuff. I have to constantly go back to beginning, Cody, and remind myself, this is what it's like when I first started. This is the emotions I was feeling. This is the struggles I was having. I can't have country club mentality. I got to have beginning starter Cody mentality if I'm going to nail the marketing message, because you know, in my business as a real estate mentor, I sell hope. I sell the dream. I sell the systems and the strategy. So I have to go back to meet people where they are, not where I'm at, where they are. And I have to get that message out as consistently as possible on every freaking platform. And nowadays, it's more important now than ever to be omnipresent. What that means is your marketing message is being touched on all the platforms at one time. And you're getting that marketing message in alignment so that way people know what they're hearing, why they're hearing it, what they do with that message, what's in it for them, and where, you know, where they're going to go to get it. And marketing is it. So if you don't have marketing skills, if you don't understand online marketing, if you don't understand social media marketing, if you don't understand digital marketing, you're falling behind every day you don't lean in on that. Video right now is key. Make video a core competency in your life. I don't care if you're a real estate agent. I don't care if you're an online marketer. I don't care if you're a financial planner or you cut lawns. It doesn't matter. Video marketing is key right now because that's how you have conversations with people and get them to move.
Which you do very well because you're everywhere. On every single platform I click on, you're on YouTube, you're on Google, you're on Instagram. And I think it's all about being omnipresent too, right? Really getting your message out there and not being scared to saturate yourself with around your competitors. What I wanted to do was go ahead and let one of the members in the tribe ask you a question. Dennis, you can go ahead and unmute yourself. That way you can ask. He went ahead and raised his hand in the chat. So 1 second.
He was just talking about being omnipresent. And in that, I know when you start in the beginning, it takes a lot of time and effort to learn the processes to get more efficient. And maybe a software or a process that you use to help be more efficient with your time in the process of being omnipresent.
Yeah, great question. So, you know, my assistant runs all these softwares. So like I'm now at a point where I use Salesforce, which is very expensive and probably out of the normal person's reach. But Salesforce has a syndication tool, right? And there's probably better or cheaper syndication tools out there. But like, just here's what I mean. Here's a simple thing. Every day I go live, right? And in the beginning, I didn't have any followers. Nobody knew who Cody Sperber was. Social media was kind of new at the time. And so I would go and put out a video or do something, and it would be crickets. Not one person would show up, right? Nobody liked my stuff. Nobody commented on it. And it was awkward because I was like, you know, like just staring at myself in the phone. And I would cut it, can it, and post it every day. Cut it, can it, post it. Cut it, can it, post it. And I just kept putting it out there. And I started looking. I'm like, okay, what all can I do with this content that I'm creating, right? Because some of it was good, some of it sucked. And trust me, there was a million times I wanted to delete it. As soon as I posted, I was like, oh, I want to delete that. Like, it was so uncomfortable. But you can take that video, you can transcribe it, you can turn it into a post, a blog post. You can take a snippet of it, put it now on Instagram. You could take it and put it up on YouTube. You can then, you know, take it, spin the article and put it up on LinkedIn. Like that syndication of content, it's not, you didn't create one piece of content, you created like 15 pieces of content out of the one. And I would use a syndication tool, and I wish I knew the names of some of this stuff, but like you could probably just Google like auto posting or syndication tools to automate it. But the key really is just starting to think like, all right, if I'm gonna go live, that live is gonna turn into like 9 assets, right? There's going to be Instagram wall posts. There's going to be a IGTV. There's going to be a blog post that's going to come out of it. There's going to be an article that I'm going to put on LinkedIn. I'm going to take snippets, put it up on Twitter. I'm going to post part of it on Facebook and then cut it off and leave a cliffhanger. If you want to see part two, go to my YouTube. And what happens is all of a sudden now we start crossing over all of our socials and moving people from social to social to social. And then the real key, like when you want that, step one is just getting the content out of your head and getting it out there, whatever your expertise or whatever you're geeking out in. And then phase two, and I don't ask anybody to leave my social for a long time. It's just value, serve, value, serve, value, serve. But at a certain point, it's like, all right, now I've laid the foundation, time to pull them off. And all you need to do is pull them off and bring them over to your website. And all they need to do is click and land on your website one time. So if you have a blog or you have a squeeze page or you have a website, like a corporate site, the second they land on that site, they get pixeled. Now your retargeting comes into play. Now this is what Nani was talking about. I see you everywhere. Why do I see you everywhere? It's because I have retargeting videos following you around on every freaking website known to man. And I'm paying for all that. But all it's doing is creating that omnipresence feeling like, man, Cody's everywhere. That message is everywhere. And he's telling me I could get wealthy in real estate. And he's got the systems and he knows where to take me. And it's step by step. And if you follow him, he's going to be able to hold your hand and lock arms with you and take you there. And after a while, you're like, you know what? He was annoying at first, but shit, I kind of like want to see what it's about. And all of a sudden, they're coming back to that. They click on the ad, they come back, and now they input their information. Now they've taken that next step. And now it's time to talk to them different. Before, I was talking to them about the future and the hope and all. Now it's time to get real with them. And here's the systems, here's the structure, here's the steps that you want to take. In fact, I'm going to give you a little homework. You go start and come back. And it's like I'm baby stepping them towards the sale. And then once they make a sale, there's upsells, downsells, side sells. There's all kinds of other stuff to monetize the lead. And the reason I'm ethically, morally, and I'm doing this is because I feel like it's my obligation. I'm so passionate about what I do. I feel like if I don't sell as hard as I can and get you into everything that I have going on, I'm doing you the biggest disservice in your life.
Man,
you get there, brother. You get there and you're going to dominate.
That's powerful, man. And if you guys are listening to this, go ahead and start looking at your ads and see if you guys have pixels attached to it. Bill Murphy talks about it too. Making a monster pixel could really, really benefit your business. Now, you speak about the audience, you speak about the power of connecting with them. What are some tips for building good relationships and keeping those relationships nurtured correctly, especially with trying to build your real estate business up?
Building great relationships with your audience. You know, I mean, I think first off, this is what I learned by doing content every day for years in a row. In the beginning, I was trying to be somebody else. I was trying to be like an Andy Frisella or a Grant Cardone or somebody else, a Dean Graziosi or whoever, Tony Robbins, whoever, you name it.
Yeah.
I was taking bits and pieces of their act and I was like trying to regurgitate it and put it back out there. And I'm like, no wonder it's inauthentic. No wonder people aren't engaging. No wonder nobody's following and really like liking and commenting on the content. It wasn't authentically me, right? And so first and foremost, if you're authentically you and you're hammering the message, it doesn't matter if you have 500 followers or 5 million followers. You just want that tribe of hardcore followers. Doesn't matter the size, it matters the quality of the followers. So then what happens is I survey my people all the time. I'm always asking, what do you want from me? What do you want to learn about? Take real estate. The market just shifted. 2 months ago, I was selling vitamins. Listen, I want you to think about what I'm saying right here. 2 months ago, I was selling vitamins. Now I'm selling painkillers. Why do you think that is? The world changed, right? The messaging has to change and you have to change with it. I knew what my audience wanted because I surveyed them. I said, what are you guys looking for? Do you guys want, you know, to learn how to rehab houses and build $1 million a year rehabbing business? Or do you want a $300,000 pre-foreclosure business that you can work from your home? I want the foreclosure business I can work from my home because I think foreclosures are coming and I want that. Cool. Now I'm starting to change my language patterns and I'm building new content and training and materials and services for what my audience wants from me. That's part of it. The other part of it is I engage with everybody. I am not too cool. I don't have an ego. I'm not like, you know, I don't walk around and think that I'm some big influencer or something like that. If you send me a DM, you probably, you know, chances are I'm going to DM you back.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of, you know, even you, like thing I can really respect about you, Nani, is like you were relentless to get me on here. And it was tough because we were rescheduling my schedule and like you had to keep getting in my inbox and all that stuff. But, you know, I saw you and we started communicating and stuff. And I told my assistant, hey, you know, work with her because I liked your tenacity. And, you know, I try to really connect on a human level with my people. If you look at my post, I respond to almost every comment all the time, unless it gets crazy out of hand, which is a lot of work, but I think people really appreciate it.
Man, I love that because it's very true. You have over a million followers and I was really skeptical about reaching out to you because I'm like, man, like he has a million followers. What message can I get to get this guy's attention? And I wrote you every single day and you opened it. And then sometimes you respond, the other times you didn't. And I was like, okay, well, if he's opening it, that means it's actually him. Because when you have an assistant doing it, they'll respond with like such a generic answer. And you're like, okay, this isn't the person. So I kept being, you know, really ambitious with you because like I said, I've been following you for a while and it's just awesome to be able to have this one-on-one conversation with you and be able to really depict your mind. And that's also just the power of consistency, that compound effect of being consistent and persistent, not only with a deal, but podcast guests or people that you want to create an opportunity with. So what I would like to ask you is, what's been a recent setback that you've had in real estate or with any of your business endeavors and how have you overcame it?
Oh man, I go through setback every day. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not getting hit with something.
Yeah.
Right. I want people to understand that it doesn't matter what level you're playing at. When I was making $0 to $100,000, I was getting hit with shit.
Yeah.
When I'm making $10+ million a year, I'm getting hit with shit. It's just bigger shit. And you just have to make a decision. Do I want to deal with big problems or little problems? And I made the decision a long time ago. I'm going for the big problems in life. And I'm inviting them into my life. I'm willing to pay that success tax in order to get the big problems. So bring it. So large part of me does not look at it like a setback. I look at it kind of like a setup to, you know, constantly evolve. Let's just go through it. You know, massive, you know, marketing campaigns that I invest a lot of money, dud, don't produce any real results. People, you know, stealing money, stealing ideas, stealing concepts, bad partnerships falling apart, getting sued, having, you know, employee problems or team member problems. Like there's always something. I don't think there's a day that goes by that I don't have some challenge, but I attack it with such a great attitude because I feel so grateful to be able to get those problems. And when you get there and you're just like, yeah, let's do this.
I love that. I don't have to, I get to, right?
I get to, let's do this. And the fact that, you know, I woke up today and I literally said, man, this is amazing. The opportunities in the marketplace. I saw a news thing the other day where people were talking about how many divorces are happening right now. And the news anchor was like, this is crazy. All these divorces have spiked. You know, it's so bad. And I'm watching that and I'm thinking to myself, that's the wrong perspective. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, how many babies are being born right now? You know, like that's how my perspective is. Like, I bet you a lot of people are having sex right now. And there's like 9 months from now, there's going to be a shit ton of kids.
There's going to be a kid called John Corona Smith, you know?
Yeah, seriously. But it's all perspective, right? It's like, how are we looking at this situation? Is it negative? Is it horrible? Is it a major problem? Or is it an opportunity for humanity to reset? An opportunity to look at, wow, this is magnifying the financial problems I've been having in my life. I'm not set up for success. No wonder I'm in pain. No wonder I'm scared because my bank account's looking weak and my job is uncertain and my wife and I are fighting over money. I'm going to stop all that. I'm never going to be in this situation again. I'm making the decision that I'm going to bounce out of this and I'm going to be positive and I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to get set up right. I'm going to listen to what Cody said, that crazy guy talking about real estate and investing. And I'm not going to save my way to wealth. I'm going to invest my way to wealth. And I'm just going to freaking do it. That's how I hope people are thinking about all this.
I love that. And how would you define success? See, I believe that success, for me at least, is every year there's a different definition for me, right? Because there's a different season I'm in. It's a different experience I'm in. So for me, success isn't one thing. But how would you define success with just as many ups and downs as you have? Because anyone that's listening to this, we couldn't captivate his entire story, but This man has experience in every realm of real estate. And if you watch his YouTube, the videos that he has, the deals he has done, the experience he has, it's literally out of this world. So how would you define success, being that, yes, you have generational wealth right now. Yes, you can do the things you want in life. So what's success for you now? Like, are you at that point of success?
Yeah, I'm going to be super honest, because like a lot of people would look and say, like, I'm successful. I don't feel successful. I've never felt successful. I don't even think about success like that. I think of this like, this is a lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, this is my life. This is a lifestyle. And like you, the needle's constantly moving, the goal's constantly moving. So for me, freedom was my goal. And I hit my goal, right? I have a lot of freedom right now. I have freedom to wear what I want, go when I want, with whom I want. I have a lot of great relationships, and the coolest part about starting to like get good at what you do and having money and having a brand and having a business is I can say no a lot. You know, I tell a lot of people no. I don't need the money, so I'm not going to do a deal with the devil. You know, I know it's not a right fit, and I'm not going to do it. So from that perspective, I'm doing good. But I've never like woke up one day and been like, dude, I'm so successful. I feel so successful. Like, in fact, I feel like I'm not even close to my full potential. And I hope that I have enough time left on this earth to keep setting standards for myself and my family. Ultimately, none of this shit matters to me. The money means nothing. The cars mean nothing. The only thing that matters to me at this point is how my kids look at me. And if they look at me and go, coolest fucking dad ever, then I'm like, nailed it. Like, crushed it, winner. Other than that, you know, one day at a time, right?
That perspective is so awesome, man, because I've been hanging out with a lot of the people that I look up to as mentors that are more successful than me. I believe that you got to get around people that are better than you, right? And the more I hang out with these people, I'm not at the bracket of the success with money that I want to be at. But when it comes to my definition of like what really starts to fulfill me is the little things like that, being with my little girl, you know, wanting to help my mom out, being able to do the little things and being a good person. And for me, it's crazy because, yeah, I want that big money, right? I want to have the success. I want to have the generational wealth. But I feel like the more that I get in tune with understanding that it's about service, it's about really like understanding the small things within yourself, I see that the money comes with it. And I feel I feel a lot better about it in my soul. You know, I don't feel as tired. I don't feel as beat. I don't feel as hard on myself.
Yeah. And the money will come if you keep doing what you're doing. You know, don't get me wrong. I want everybody listening to this to win the money game.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be the clever real estate investor for nothing. You know, I'm not a nonprofit. I want to win the money game, and money is a scorecard. However, it's just not the most important scorecard in this traditional definition of success.
Boom. And you guys heard it there from the clever investor, and he's called the clever investor for a reason. He's always been clever with coming up with deals and plans. And by the way, his wife is the one that helped him with that name. He was excited as hell when he got his first commission check, and he's like, all right, I'm ready to start my own business. What should I name it? She looked at him and was like, I don't know. You're pretty clever with what you do. And then it ended up being the clever investor. So a spark of an idea like that can blow up to something really big. So I know I don't got much time with you left, and I do want to ask you one last question. And this question is, if you could have dinner with any legend, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
God, people ask that question. It's always weird. You know, does it have to be a legend, or can it just be anybody?
Well, what's a legend to you? That's really how I define it. Because most people think a legend is like a Michael Jordan. Yeah, cool. But what's a legend to you? Like, for me, a legend's my mom, right? If I got to answer that question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my dad's dad died when he was 11 years old. I would like to go and have lunch or dinner with my dad's dad.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's who I think I would choose. You know, a lot of people would choose, you know, somebody who really is legendary, like Steve Jobs or something like that. And of course, I would love to go with them. But I want to understand, you know, I ask my dad all the time, what was your dad like? My dad was such a great dad. My dad works for me now. And I'm very blessed and lucky to be able to, I retired my parents through my real estate monies. I was able to retire them when I was 28 years old. And you know, I always ask him, what was your dad like? And he doesn't have a ton of memory. So that's always been a curiosity of mine to go back and what was my dad like when he was a little kid? What was my dad's dad like? What did they live like? I knew they were very poor, but I would love to explore that.
That's awesome, man. And then one question from one of the members in the group, Brad, you could go ahead and unmute yourself and show your video and ask the question. And then that's the last bit of the questions, guys.
Hey, Cody, what's going on?
What's up, Brad?
So my name is Brad DeMint. So I'm 20 years old. Right now I'm doing title insurance. I just left my job being a sales manager at Cricket Wireless. So I'm doing title insurance now, and I'm getting into real estate. My dad is a real estate agent, and he owns a title insurance company. But I'm wondering, I know you talk a lot about wholesaling, but would you recommend starting out wholesaling, or I want to own property and rent it out? Or what would you recommend the first step of, you know, being young, getting into real estate?
Yeah, great question. So first off, I feel like wholesaling is like a gateway to getting into the whole world of creative real estate investing. What I discovered as I went down that rabbit hole was there's a lot of different ways for you to do creative real estate without having to have big resources or deep pockets or a lot of experience. So let me give you an example. All day long, basically what I do all day long is market, right? I'm generating leads, right? And I'm just putting feelers out. I'm talking to every agent in town, the other wholesalers, the other real estate investors. I'm sending out direct mail. I'm doing text message marketing. I'm posting on social media. I'm doing all this stuff and just trying to generate opportunities, right? And like I said, I'm looking for motivation. I'm looking for equity. When these people call me or, you know, a real estate agent brings me a deal, whatever that is, I'm always looking at the deal and I'm going, okay, I'm looking at it from the lens of a creative real estate investor, not a wholesaler, not a rehabber, not a landlord. I know how to do all of those things. I know those strategies inside and out, but I'm looking at it like, what's the most creative way I can get into this deal and maximize profits with lowering my risk? So that's investing is always like lowering risk, maximizing profits. And so for me, these leads come in and I might look at it and go, hey, this person's really desperate for cash. It's worth 100. They're willing to take 50,000. Let's just lock it up under contract. I got a buyer over here that will pay 10 grand more. So I lock it up for 50. I wholesale it over there for 60. I make a quick 10, no risk. I'm in and out. Take that same scenario. I might show up and the person goes, I don't want to sell it for 50,000 at a discount, but it's got a renter in there. The renter's paying 1400 bucks a month. It needs a little bit of work. So it's worth 100. I'll sell it to you for 75. And I'll do it where I own the house free and clear. So I'll carry back the paper, right? And so now all of a sudden, instead of trying to go for a wholesale deal, I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I can step into a deal where the seller is the bank. I work out a creative deal where I put 1,000 or 2,000 or 3,000, very low amount of money out of pocket. I'm now in, you know, they're my bank. I get the property. I'm dealing with the tenant. I'm getting the cash flow. And all of a sudden I put that over into my portfolio. And then all of a sudden that was maybe happened at noon. By 3 o'clock, I get another phone call and this particular house would be a great rehab, right? And so it's like, I'm just going throughout my day, cherry picking out deals and just using my different investor tools. And because I know how to do a seller carry back, a wraparound mortgage, an agreement for sale, a subject to transaction, a wholesale deal, a rehab deal, I have so many tools that every deal takes on a life of its own. That's why I recommend learning from wholesaling, because wholesaling is going to teach you a certain thing, how to generate the leads, how to talk to the people. You're going to end up meeting all the other investors in town, all the other players. You're going to probably at some point want to go get your real estate license. So that plays right into it. At the same time, you're going to come across deals where you're like, oh, I really want to keep that one. And you're going to start looking into those creative deal structurings. And, or you're going to wholesale one and you're going to be like, oh, I shouldn't have wholesaled that. I made a quick 10, but the rehabber I sold it to made 100. Screw that. I'm never going to do that again. And then you're going to go down the rehabbing rabbit hole. So that's why I like wholesaling, because it forces you in the game to learn all these pieces and put it all together. Because like, I'm a real estate investor. I'm not a wholesaler. You get what I'm saying? The mindset shift. That's the key.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome, man. And I don't know.
Hey, thank you for your answer, man. That's some good stuff.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And I don't know if you have one more, like one time for one more question, but there's a question on the Facebook where someone asks, do you have advice for fundraising money from investors to a start a business, especially during this downtime?
Yeah. So first and foremost, you better have your stuff together. You better have a plan. You better have a sales plan, a marketing plan. You better have it really thought through and put together. And you better believe in yourself with everything you got, because nobody's going to give you money or invest in your idea. I can't tell you how many freaking times a day I get hit up for people who are like, do you invest in my stuff? I'm like, ask them one or two questions. They fall apart. And I'm like, man, you don't even believe in yourself.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even invest in yourself. You would never even do that. Like, you're not that dude or that gal. Like, you're not there yet. Investors love enthusiasm, right? So you got to show up with like such an insane amount of enthusiasm. Like, I know what this is, why I'm trying to do it, what we're going to do. I have a game plan. I have a strategy. It's all mapped out. I thought through. I'm not winging it. I know who my first person I'm bringing on the team is. I know how I'm going to make my sales. I know how I'm going to process. I know how I'm going to do fulfillment or create the widget or whatever it is. So I guess the answer is, are you there yet? Are you at that place? Because if you are, and you really do have your stuff together, now is probably the best time in history to raise some money, because everybody's looking for a place to park money right now. They're pulling it out of the stock market. They don't know what's coming. And they're looking for talented, and a lot of times, youthful enthusiasm to, you know, invest in. And they'll invest in your idea or your opportunity if they believe in you. And it might not happen on day one. A lot of times when I raise money, it's not like my first phone call. I have to build a relationship with them. I show them, I don't tell them. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. I'm showing them why this is a great opportunity for them.
Definitely. And I think that's a lot of entrepreneurs, right? They say, well, I have a great idea, invest in my idea. But it's like how you said, they don't even have a blueprint for it. They don't have a plan for it. They don't have a real infrastructure for the idea. And they're just going at it, asking someone, hey, give me some money. And I promise I'll make it happen. I don't think that's the right mindset to go into anything with, right?
And don't lead with, I'm special. I'm unique.
Yeah.
Right? That's like what everybody, I'm like, no, you're not. You're a dumbass. Right? Yeah, you don't definitely know what the heck you're doing. You know, you started off with I'm different than everybody else. It's like, no, the answer is no, I'm not investing.
Definitely, man. Well, I really appreciate you. Thank you for taking a little bit of the extra time to answer the questions. If you can, let the people know where they can find more of you and right now what you have going on that can help them during this quarantine crisis.
Yeah. So obviously, Clever Investor on all social media platforms. I'm most known for Instagram. If you go check out my Instagram today, while this is live, I did I had a motorcycle crash into my wall in my office, which is quite hilarious because I have this little motorized motorcycle. Bad idea. Anyways, YouTube is where I'm putting a lot of my energy. I think YouTube is where it's at. If you want to learn for free, I have a tremendous amount of training videos on YouTube. www.cleverinvestor.com has a ton of training on there that's free as well. But the thing I'm most passionate about, and it's been my pet project that I've been working on the side, is a brand new company that I just started with two really good friends of mine. They're both phenomenal entrepreneurs. It's called the 100 Million Academy, 100millionacademy.com. And we're going to be like the Netflix for entrepreneurs. So we went out, and I want you guys to imagine something. You're all sitting at home right now, but imagine learning from the best in the world. Imagine going to college and every one of your professors was making $100 million. Would your college experience just be insane?
Yeah.
Like every class you went to is just like, how successful are you? How much money are you making? Yeah, I want to learn from you. Like, yeah. College would be out of this world. Well, unfortunately, that doesn't exist. So we stepped back and we looked at like, what's the challenge with the entrepreneurial education world? Well, one, it's not, you know, it's fragmented, and it's, you know, you don't know the credibility of the person. You don't know if that guru or that person really is as successful as that they say they are. So we went out, we leveraged every relationship that we have, and we grouped together over 20 nine-figure business owners. So think about that for a second. They either made $100 million, which is insane, spent $100 million on advertising, which is insane, or they got 100 million impressions, right, which is also insane. If they met one of those three criteria, they could be an instructor for the 100 million Academy. We got 20 nine-figure instructors, people like Marcus Lemonis from The Profit, Jordan Belfort, the real Wolf of Wall Street, Neil Patel, the greatest online marketer right now. Google pays him to teach them SEO. Jim Quick, the memory coach to the stars, the best in the world, got them all together, sent out our video crews, and created over 100 hours of custom training around 22 different verticals. So if you're an entrepreneur, you want to learn email marketing, learn from my partner, Joel Marion, founder of BioTrust, did over $780 million in sales, has 22 million people on his email database.
That's insane.
I want to learn email marketing from that dude, yeah. Right? If I want to learn how to network and build relationships, I'm going to Dan Fleischman, the most connected man on planet Earth. His Rolodex is so stacked, it's insane. I'm hanging out with him. J-Lo called him. I'm like, what the frick? You know, like, J-Lo, seriously? You know,
like, I love Dan. I had him on my show, and he's so intelligent. It's insane, honestly, man. And the guy knows so much. Having him on the Power Talk, it just shifted so many, you know, ideas in my head where I'm like, man, I got to start thinking bigger.
Yeah, he's the man. And so, you know, college, average cost of college is like $46,000 a year. That's crazy, right? At the 100 Million Academy, it's $100 a month to learn from nine-figure instructors, over 100 hours of training. And what makes us like the Netflix for entrepreneurs is starting next week, we're going live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 5 days a week for an hour a day from our 100 Mil studios. And we're doing live training calls by our 100 Mil instructors. We're giving away cash prizes. It's like a party, and it's on-demand mentors in your pocket. Never been done before. And we're in beta right now. We launch it officially next week.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'm looking at the website right now. I'll definitely drop the link into my Facebook Live and into the chat. That way everyone can check it out. It's $100 right now. You receive a membership card, and you get that rate. And it's
Look at how dope this is. We went out and we got metal custom membership cards that get you VIP access whenever we're allowed back outside to our live events, our workshops. You're going to get VIP status when you're a 100 member, a 100 million Academy member. You get a membership card, and it's there's no like discounts. There's no upsells. There's no, you know, it's $100. That's it. And it's the most affordable training that you'll ever receive by the world's greatest instructors.
That's awesome, man. And it's with Joel Marion, his partner, and Dan Fleischman. And as you guys know, Dan Fleshman's the man, Joel's the man. And right here, Cody, the clever, it's so weird to call you Cody. It's a clever investor. He's a man too. So go ahead, check it out. I'm going to drop the link in there, guys. And go ahead and show him some love with this, support him. This is the time right now where we're supposed to come together as a community and leverage the opportunities that are here. That way we can benefit later on in the future. So if we can, Cody, go ahead and take a picture with you so we can show off that we were with the man, the myth, the legend. And that way I could get Joel Marion on my podcast and show him I was with you.
You're going to leverage me to get that done?
Yeah, man. Come on. Nurturing relationships. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. Perfect. Thank you so much, Cody. Again, it's been awesome having you on the Power Talk. And I'm sure everybody appreciated it. I know I got a lot of value from this.
Cool. Thanks, guys. Take care. Comb your hair.
Thanks, Cody.
Bye.
Good stuff, man. Thank you.
Thank you. See ya.
Boom. That was great. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. I'll send you over some micro clip, and then I'll send you over the link once it's out. The episode should be out in about 3 weeks.
Holy holy.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
See ya.
Let's go. You just got blessed. You just got blessed because you got to listen to one of the number one real estate investors, educators, moguls in the game. And you heard what he said? He said, don't do anything different. Do not reinvent. Reinvest. Reinvest in yourself right now. Learn your skills. Master your niche. Go ahead and learn what you can so you're ready when this pandemic is over to thrive. So many people are
worried right now that they're selling, they're overbuying, they're just stuck, they don't know what to do. Listen, you just got to listen to an hour with a almost billionaire, but a multi-millionaire on what you should and you shouldn't be doing, on how you should be doing it, on what you should be learning, and how you could go ahead and implement it to your life. So I want to know what your major takeaway was. I know that I signed up for his 30-day challenge. I actually did it last week, so I will let you guys know how it is after 30 days if I went ahead and I closed my first deal. So go ahead, take advantage of the resources he was speaking about. Definitely take advantage of wanting to be a part of his community. If you want to learn more about it, reach out to me. If you want to be involved with what we're doing here and Empower and being involved with all these big moguls, these big players, these people that are in the position we want to be in, go ahead and reach out to me on Instagram at Azonani. That's AZONANI. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Empower Tribe. That's IN Power Tribe. And most importantly, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Hit it, like it, smash it, whatever the case may be, but make sure that you subscribe. And most importantly, go ahead and push this episode out to your network. You never know who this may inspire. You never know who this may resonate with, and you never know who this may impact. So go ahead and share it, because sharing is caring. And most importantly, I would love to know your feedback on this. I would love to know what your major takeaway is. Go ahead and leave it in the chat below. Let us know, leave us a rate, leave us a review. And most importantly, if you like what I'm saying, like what I'm doing, like what you're seeing, ask me how you can get involved with our community. Just so you know, this episode was sponsored by the Rise Up Project. The Rise Up Project is a 2-day all-women's mastermind where we're going to be working on mental and physical, emotional intelligence the first day. And the second day, we're going to be learning all about business mastery and how we can implement these strategies so we could thrive in business. I love you guys so much. Thank you for always supporting me. Thank you for always listening. So make sure that you guys keep tuning in, because we got some awesome guests coming in the building. Let's go and let's grow. See you on the next episode.